Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday. You knew that, right? Yes. Did you know that? That's why some of y'all are dressed in red today, and that's all. You know, I don't have any red. I mean, I really don't. I think that comes from the fact that we were forbidden to wear red. My brother forbade me to wear red because, you know, we grew up Tech fans, and so, of course, I'm in kind of in a flux now with Wesley being at Georgia, so. But I don't have any red. Now, I do have a Georgia T-shirt that I wear underneath my Tech sweatshirt, but I don't have any red. So I wore orange today, and I did have on some black pants till Scarlett said, "Dad, that's not going to work with that jacket." And so I've got my orange on for the Cincinnati Bengals today. So that's why I'm wearing orange, and just wanted you to know. But anyway, so today's a Super Bowl. And you know, one of the big traditions that's developed through the years with the Super Bowl are the commercials. By the way, a 30-second spot for the Super Bowl during an ad during the Super Bowl this evening is going to cost $7 million for 30 seconds. And these corporations, they go all out and they do their best production work for their Super Bowl ad. You probably have seen it. It's a whole big deal now. They even have thing, okay, what's the best? They have a poll. What was the best Super Bowl commercial and all that? And they go all out. Some of them are outrageous. Some of them are hilarious. And every once in a while, there are a few that really touch your heart with a powerful message. And I want you to see one that was New York Life's Super Bowl ad 2 years ago, at Super Bowl in 2020. So let's get that up, if we would. Bring the sound up a little, Anthony.
The first is philia. Philia is affection.
I wanted to use that to kick off the message today because the New Testament, they mention here the four Greek words that are translated, that we translate love. The Greeks had four words for it. And we know that the New Testament was written in Greek as well. So these words that they referenced here were used in the books of the New Testament. And they are, we'll go over them again. They are phileo, which means friendship and affection. Storge or stergo, it's pronounced either way. And that means family love and devotion. And then there's eros, which is sexual love. But then in the commercial, it says this about the last kind of love. The fourth kind of love is different. It's the most admirable. It's called agape. Love as an action. It takes courage, sacrifice, strength. And, you know, that's not bad for a life insurance company to come up with revelation like that and understanding like that. So we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about these loves that are mentioned in the Greek language and that are used in the New Testament. The title of the message today is The Fullness of Love. The Fullness of Love. I also brought out my book. I've got two volumes of this now. I've got volume two, thanks to Robert. But Sparkling Gems from the Greek by Rick Renner. Rick Renner is a Greek scholar. He's also an apostle. God sent him and his family to the former Soviet Union right after the Iron Curtain came down, and they established churches throughout the former Soviet Union in Russia and in the other nations surrounding there. They've established dozens and dozens of churches and reached tens of thousands of people with the gospel. But Rick is a tremendous teacher and a Greek scholar. And I just want to read, and the reason I brought the whole book out is because it's hard to put a book like this inside a copy machine and get a decent copy. So you miss what's in the middle there. You know how that works if you've tried that. So I'm just going to read straight from the book here. It's so good in his understanding of the Greek and talking about these four words, these four Greek words as well. When the New Testament was being written, there were four primary Greek words to describe the concept of love: eros, stergo, phileo, and agape. These four words conveyed four very different types of love. I want to talk to you today about these four different types of love Then I'll tell you which of these four is the type of love the Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life. The first word for love in the list given above is the Greek word eros, which is the Greek term for sexual love and where we get the word erotic. In Greek culture, this word referred to sensual, carnal impulses to satisfy or gratify the sexual desires of the flesh. It shares a common root with the word ereo, which means to ask, to beg, or to demand. This confirms that eros is not a giving type of love. Rather, it denotes a sexual demand. It is not a love that seeks to give or please someone else, but a carnal love that seeks the fulfillment of its own desires. And we understand this. If you grew up in the 70s and you listened to popular music at the time, Bad Company had a song called "I Can't Get Enough of Your Love." Anybody remember that song? Well, if you do, we shouldn't. We should forget that one. And then I think it was who was the band that sang "Gimme Some Lovin'"? Was that Traffic or Blindfold? You know the song "Gimme Some Lovin'"? So that's the getting. That's the type of love they were talking. That's the type kind of love they were talking about too. I can't get enough of your love. Gimme some lovin'. Well, he says that's not the kind of love. That's not the God kind of love. It's not a love that seeks to give or please someone else, but a carnal love that seeks the fulfillment of its own desires. It's very interesting that this word never appears once in the New Testament, not even in the context of sex and marriage. Even in Greek culture, the word eros represented a carnal, raw, base, low-level craving, yearning, or appetite for sexual fulfillment. This type of love is so flesh-based and so far removed from the level of love that God expects of believers that it's never included in New Testament language. In the New Testament, regardless of whether the context is friendship, brotherhood, or romance, all believers are urged to continually operate from the perspective of agape love, which is a love more focused on giving than it is on receiving. Because the word eros primarily describes a self-satisfying, self-gratifying, self-seeking, self-pleasing type of sexual appetite found mainly among unbelievers or those who are focused on themselves, it is not the type of love that believers should aspire to in their marital lives. Now, he's not saying that married couples shouldn't have sex. He's just saying that within marriage, if you read 1 Corinthians, Paul says, the husband is not to please himself but his wife, and the wife is not to please herself but her husband, right? All right. The second word for love mentioned in the list above is the Greek word stergo or storge. The word stergo primarily pictures the love that exists between parents and children or the love that exists between members of a family. One scholar has noted that on occasion, the word stergo portrayed the love of a nation for its ruler or even the love of a dog for its master. Marley, can you say amen back there? All right. Consequently, the real idea of the word stergo is that of devotion. Although the word stergo does appear in the New Testament, it is very rarely used. We find it used in a negative sense in 2 Timothy 3:3, where the King James Version translates it without natural affection. That affection there, that's stergo or storge. This suggests that a time will develop in the last days when strong family ties and devotion to one's family will deteriorate. By using this word in a negative sense, the Apostle Paul warns that one of the principal signs of the last times will be the deterioration of the family and of traditional family values. Well, my goodness, we're there, aren't we, in our world today? The third word for love is the Greek word phileo, which describes affection, such as the affection felt between a boyfriend and a girlfriend or the affability shared between two friends. It carries the idea of two or more people who feel compatible, well-matched, well-suited, and complementary to each other. Although this word describes the attributes of friendship, it is not representative of the highest form of love, which is agape. The fourth word for love is the word chiefly used in the New Testament to depict the love of God. This is the Greek word agape, and it is the word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22 when he writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." This is what I call high-level love, for there is no higher, finer, or more excellent love than agape love. In fact, the word agape is so filled with deep emotion and meaning that it is one of the most difficult words to translate in the New Testament. Trying to explain this word has baffled translators for centuries. Nevertheless, I will now add my attempt to clarify the meaning of this powerful word. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the object or person he is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. In the New Testament, perhaps the best example of agape is found in John 3:16. For God so loved, agape, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the phrase, "for God so loved the world," the word love is the word agape. This means when God looked upon the human race, he stood in awe of mankind. Even though man was lost in sin, God admired man. He wondered at man. He held man in the highest appreciation. Even though mankind was held captive by Satan at that moment, God looked upon the world and saw his own image in man. The human race was so precious to God, and he loved man so deeply that his heart was stirred to reach out and do something to save him. In other words, God's love drove him to action. You see, agape is a love that loves so profoundly that it knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, and deep it will go to show that love to its recipient. If necessary, agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of the person it so deeply cherishes. Agape is the highest form of love, a self-sacrificial type of love that moves the lover to action. In contrast, eros is self-seeking love. Sturgo or storge is limited only to one's family. Phileo is based on mutual satisfaction and can feel disappointed. Agape is a love that has no strings attached. It isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. Its awe of the one who is loved is so deep that it is compelled to shower love upon that person regardless of the response. This is the profound love God has for the human race. For he loved man when he was still lost in sin, with no ability to love him back. God simply loved mankind without any thought or expectation of receiving love in return. When you love with such a pure love that you expect nothing back in return, it is impossible for you to feel hurt or let down by the response of the recipients of your love. You don't love them for the purpose of getting something in return. You shower them with love simply because you love them. This kind of love is much higher than eros love that is based on selfishness, storge love that is restricted by limitations, or phileo love that is rooted in mutual satisfaction. These three types of love are what I call low-level love, but agape is high-level love. It is a love that has no strings attached, a love that loves simply and purely, the God kind of love. In 1 John 3:16, we are urged to possess agape for each other. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This plainly means that we are to love and appreciate each other just as fully and freely as God loves us. The Father loved us to the point of self-sacrifice. Jesus, agape, drove him to lay down his life for us. In the same way, we are to agape our brothers and sisters to such a high extent that we would be willing to lay down our lives for them. If we are truly operating in agape and they don't respond in like fashion, it won't offend or hurt us. We are not looking for what others can do for us. We are simply focused on how to love others with no strings attached. Therefore, the way other people respond to us has no effect on our desire to shower them with agape love. Further explaining the role of agape in our lives, John said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." The word love is again the word agape, which tells us that when agape is at work, it is a force so strong that it demonstrates itself with deeds and actions. This is not an empty love that talks but does nothing. It is a love that does something, just as God's love, just as God loved us and then did something to save us from our lost and sinful condition. This is the love that Paul urged us to follow after when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity, agape love. The word follow is the Greek word dioko, which means to hotly pursue. It was a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally gets his game. This means that attaining this high-level love doesn't come easy. If we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and the aim of our lives. If agape is the basis of your sexual relationship with your spouse instead of eros, you will always seek to serve and please your spouse rather than being self-centered and focused only on your needs. If agape is the basis of your family relationships rather than sturgo, you'll always remain devoted to your family, regardless of the disappointments that may occur along the way. And if agape is the basis of your friendships rather than phileo, you will be a faithful, immovable friend for life rather than a come-and-go friend who's faithful only as long as you get what you want out of the relationship. In fact, if agape is the driving motivation of your life and the force behind all your relationships, it will make you to be the best, most devoted, faithful, and reliable friend anyone has ever known. You may ask, but how can I possess such love? Is it really possible for me to regularly exhibit such love in my life for other people? If you were seeking to walk in this kind of love that originates in the power of your flesh, it would be impossible. For flesh is selfish and self-focused and therefore cannot love that highly. But because of the seed of God's word that has been sown into your own human spirit, the potential for this divine love is within you all the time. Now it's up to you to shove the flesh aside and release the love of God from down deep inside. If you will let the Spirit of God release it from your heart, you will discover and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit called love. Praise God. Amen. Now, in the commercial, it talks about, the commercial says this, for 175 years, we've been helping people act on their love. Now, with all due respect to New York Life, God's been at it a lot longer than 175 years. And thank God He's given us a helper to act on that love. Amen. The love of God, the Bible says, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that. If we can pop that one up there. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That love is on the inside of us. So, and agape is, as we read here from Rick Renner, agape is the highest and most notable and noble love. And it's the word, this word agape, is the word that describes God's love toward us and the sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated toward us when He laid His life down for us. But I'm not really differing or disagreeing with Rick Renner, but I want to present a little bit. As I studied this out, I saw a little bit different angle that I want to present to you in this as well. The other Greek words for love, particularly phileo and storge or sturgo, also carry great meaning for us in understanding the fullness of love that we're to live in and that we're to demonstrate to one another as believers. So let's look at some scriptures here. In Titus chapter 3 And we're going to look at, and I'm going to point out to you when the word love is used, where these Greek words are used, okay, for love. In Titus 3 and verse 4, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared." The word love there, guess which word that is? We would think that, wouldn't we? You know, it's actually not. It's actually the word philanthropia, which is a combination word of the word phileo and anthropia, which is mankind, which means mankind. Philanthropist, where we get the word philanthropist or philanthropy. All right, it's the word phileo here. All right, when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Look at what he did here, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, so this is describing the love that God has toward mankind, and that's what philanthropia is. Philanthropia is a love for mankind. That's what philanthropy is. It's a love for mankind. A philanthropist is one who uses his wealth to benefit mankind, right? To benefit masses of people in some way. Well, God is the greatest of all philanthropists. Amen. God gave the most valuable thing he possessed, his son. Hallelujah. To save us, to save all mankind. And it was done for all mankind. That's why that word is used, because he did it for all mankind. All right? So this phileo is an important kind of love as well. All right? We're called to have this kind of love for one another as well. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I want to read that. Romans 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love," now that's the word agape, "let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate." Kindly affectionate. The word there, kindly affectionate, is the word philostorgos, which is a combination of phileo and storge. All right? Two of those words that describe love. It says, "Be kindly affectionate, philostorgos, to one another with brotherly love." That's the word, that's Philadelphia. You know, everybody know Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. I think the murder rate is skyrocketing there. So they're not living up to their name. But the name of the city is the city of Philadelphia, means literally, it's a Greek word. This is a Greek word for brotherly love. And that's what it means. It means brotherly love. That is Philadelphia. In honor, giving preference to one another. Now, so we see phileo used quite a bit here and storgos as well. So agape, now, don't misunderstand me. Agape is the foundation of our love as believers. That's the kind of love that we're to have at our foundation. And that's the main kind of love. And yet we're to have elements of these other kinds of love as well, phileo and storgos. So 1 Thessalonians 4:9, let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he says, "But concerning brotherly love," again, Philadelphia, "you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to," that's agape, "to love one another." So he puts the two together. He says we're to have this brotherly love toward one another, but the foundation of it, we're taught by God. God teaches us, if we're listening to God, if we're yielding to His Spirit who's poured out agape into our hearts, then we're going to be agape-ing one another, but we're going to have, it's going to be combined with these elements of phileo as well. We're talking about the fullness of love. Amen? All right. So he says, "You've been taught by God to agape one another, and indeed you do so," verse 10, "indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia." But notice this now, "but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Praise God. We can increase in the love of God. Amen. Love, again, love is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit, in fact, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Amen. Well, fruit grows, doesn't it? Yeah. Fruit develops, doesn't it? Yeah. Fruit matures, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. Now, I don't know if you like persimmons or not. Anybody ever eaten a persimmon? Have you ever eaten a green persimmon? Whoo, my goodness, your mouth is still, there's still wrinkles on the side of your lips from that green persimmon that you ate 40 years ago. Whoo, that will turn your mouth inside out. I've never put anything so mouth-turning in my mouth than a green persimmon. Well, fruit's got to grow, amen? It's got to mature, amen? Hallelujah. And the love of God is a fruit of the Spirit that should mature in our lives. Amen? All right. So Hebrews 13:1, let's look at another one. Let brotherly love continue. He's encouraging. The writer of Hebrews here is encouraging these believers. Let brotherly love continue. You need to be doing this. You need to be walking in this. Again, it's the word Philadelphia from the word phileo, that kind of love. The New Living Translation says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Well, that's the revelation. That's who we are in Christ. When we're born again, we come into the family of God, and other believers in Christ are our brothers and sisters. Amen? That's why we're to have this kind of love for one another. All of a sudden, your family gets a lot bigger. All of a sudden, that family love that in the world, that in the natural, that you can only have for a brother or a sister, all of a sudden, that love gets a lot more expansive. You can have it for every believer in Jesus now. Amen. In 1 Peter 1:22, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, that's Philadelphia. That sincere love of the brethren, that's Philadelphia that he's talking about there. The next word is love one another. Now that word's agape. See, he puts the two together. Amen. Sincere love of the brethren, that's Philadelphia. Love one another. That word for love, that last one, is agape. Love one another, agape one another fervently. Fervently with a pure heart. Praise God. Let's move on to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're to have faith, right? But we're to add to our faith. Peter's talking, he's encouraging, he's exhorting us as believers. He's exhorting us for our faith to be growing and developing. And he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And then he has a list of things to add to in verse 6. It's a progression. And then in verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness. Again, that's the word Philadelphia. All right? And to brotherly kindness, guess which word that is? So we don't know, Pastor. You're throwing out so many here, we're afraid to get. Now, yes, agape. Agape. Notice, again, it's a progression. We add to brotherly kindness, like the ingredients in a recipe. Amen. And I want you to see it that way. What Peter's talking about here in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, he's talking about the ingredients of a successful Christian life. When he says add to, and he's not talking about it in terms of, I want you to see it in terms of ingredients added. When you're cooking something, you add each ingredient is necessary, right? And when you add the new ingredient, you don't say, well, we don't need this one anymore. Right? Amen. It's not like, see, sometimes we look at this like we're taking steps. And if you're taking steps, if you're walking up a stairway, you leave the lower step so that you can put your foot on the higher step. Don't need that lower step anymore. I'm already up here. It's not like that. It's ingredients. And each one's necessary. Praise God. Faith is necessary. Virtue is necessary. Knowledge is necessary. Godliness is necessary. Brotherly kindness is necessary. And certainly, he ends with the most important of all, agape, love. Amen? All right. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 1 in the Amplified Bible. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Did you anybody ever you see little children imitating their father? I love it. My grandkids, I'm watching, observing them now and around them, and you know, they want to do stuff their daddy does. Elliot wants to do stuff his daddy. You know, he came in and he had gotten his hair cut a while back, and he said, it's like daddy's. I got a haircut like daddy's. So and they want to do what they see their, and that's what we're to do. We're dearly loved children of our Heavenly Father. Yes. And we're to imitate God. Amen. Yes. Amen. See, some people that would, in a religious mindset, that would be blasphemous. Well, I can't act like God. I mean, he's God. No, we're his children. We have his nature. Yes. We're born of him. Imitate God. And that doesn't mean you're going to be God. And we're not going to turn the universe over to you to run it. God forbid. But we're to imitate God. We're to copy him. And we're to follow his example. Well, what is that? He tells us what that example is in verse 2. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. That's what when we read his definition of agape love. That's the love that God has toward us. God esteems us. God delights in us. Well, we're to walk in that same love. We're to esteem one another. Amen. We're to delight in one another. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Let's read this in the Message Bible. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly, verse 2, mostly what God does is love you. Isn't that good? Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Praise God. That's why it's only possible to love in this way if we keep company with God. If we stay in fellowship with him, if we stay connected with him. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Rick Renner mentioned this, but I wanted to look at it. Pursue love. Do what with love? Pursue it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You know, it's possible to do both. Can any of you walk and chew gum at the same time? I know some of us maybe have struggled with that in the past, but, right? We should be able to do both. Amen? Women are a lot better at multitasking than men are. But we should be able to pursue love and desire. We're to desire spiritual gifts, but we're also to pursue love. Praise God. Amen. The New Living Translation says it this way. Let love be your highest goal. Now again, what is this love he's talking about? It's agape. Agape. Amen. Let love be your highest goal. The Amplified Bible says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Make it your aim, your great quest. The Message Bible says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Yep. Yep. It does. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. See, faith works how? By love. By love. Faith works by love. He said, well, you're our lives, that we live by faith, right?
Yes. Yes.
Our lives depend on faith, right?
Yes.
But faith works by love.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Faith is energized and active, amen, through love.
Yes.
Praise God. They asked children one time the question, what is love? And these are some of the answers that the children gave. And Reed, you can make your way on back up here as I'm reading these. Love, and this is pretty profound, really. And I don't know. I've not checked these out. I don't know if some smart guy thought these up and attributed it to kids, or if kids really said this. I choose to believe that kids really said it. Okay. But pretty profound. Listen to this. And some of you have heard these before. I've read them before. Love is that first feeling you feel before all the bad stuff gets in the way. Think about that. Love is that first feeling you feel before all the bad stuff gets in the way. Well, you think about a child. You know, a child, when a child is born, they're alive unto God. Amen. Now, Paul said it this way. He said, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When he got to the age of where he knew to choose right and wrong, and he chose to do wrong, sin revived and he died. But we're alive spiritually. And we're in contact with that love of God on the inside of us. Now, again, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't take a 2-year-old and say, oh, they're just going to demonstrate that. No, they're going to say, that's mine. There's going to be selfishness there because of the immaturity, of course. But love is that first feeling you feel before all the bad stuff gets in the way. Well, let's let the blood of Jesus wash away all the bad stuff so we can operate in this love. Amen? When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name, this is the most profound one that I've ever read. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Think about that. Think about that. Are people's names safe in your mouth? Or are we using our mouths to denigrate and wound and run down and diminish people? If we love people, the way we will say their name will be different. Their names will be safe in our mouth. That's powerful. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Well, that's the love of God. You're not getting in order to get. I'll give you some of my French fries if you'll give me one of your chicken nuggets. No, you're just giving because you love them. Here, have some French fries. Right? Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. I love that one too. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. You feel like you're tired, you feel like being grumpy, but the love of God on the inside, knowing that you're loved by God, I'm tired, I'm worn out, you know, I'm still going to smile. Because of the love of God. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Amen. Love, I like this one too a lot. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. I love that. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that you hate. Well, that's true. Amen. We're going to put this love in operation. Hey, it's easy to love somebody that loves you back. Start with a friend that you hate. I don't like that person. They rub me the wrong way. I'm going to choose to love them. Amen. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. I don't know quite where that fits in, but I just thought it was worth sharing. Mainly because this was what Noel, age 7, said. So I have a Noel now, a granddaughter Noel. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. This one's good. During my piano recital, I was on a stage and I was asked this little girl, "What's love?" So she thought for a minute, "Okay, how can I explain what love is?" And here's what she came up with. During my piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and saw Daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore. The love of God drives out fear, casts out fear. He's waving and smiling at us. In the midst of situations that would bring us fear, hallelujah, that would make us afraid, our Heavenly Father is waving and smiling. You're going to do it. I believe in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Mommy's tasting the coffee to make sure it's all right. Now mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. When's dad going to do something? Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Brad Pitt. Marley, get ready. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Isn't that the truth? I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. Love cards, like Valentine's cards, say stuff on them that we'd like to say ourselves, but we wouldn't be caught dead saying. But we can put it in a card, right? This is powerful. This is the love of God. When you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared they won't love you anymore, but then you get surprised because not only do they still love you, they love you even more. That's the love of God. That's why we can go to Him when we sin. Amen. And that's the love we're to have for one another. That's why the church should be a safe place for us to repent. That's what James was talking about when he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. Amen. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Praise God. John 13:34. I don't know if we got, did we get that one? I put it in late. John 13:34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you agape, love one another, as I have loved you, that you also agape, love one another. Verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have agape love for one another. And that was revolutionary because, you know, the world, and again, that's the agape love, the world didn't know about that. That was the highest type that was barely attainable. But Jesus said, this is the love that you're to walk in. This is the love that you're to have. Love one another as I've loved you. And the world will know that you're my disciples if you love each other with this self-sacrificing, with this giving love. If you love one another with this love. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 in the Amplified Bible. This is divine love, the God kind of love, agape love. In fact, the King James Bible, if you have a King James, you know that it's translated charity. It's almost like the translators of the King James Bible said, you know, we know what love is and we use the word love, but there's just something special about this one. That it just seems like just the regular word love is not even strong enough, powerful enough, adequate enough to use here. So they use the word charity. But it's talking about agape. the God kind of love. Love, agape, endures long and is patient and kind. Love, agape, never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It, agape love, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love, agape love, bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love, verse 8, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Love never fails. Agape, the God kind of love, never fails. Yeah, we're to incorporate the elements of phileo and storge or sturgo in this, but our foundation is agape. Our foundation is the love, the very love that God loved us with. Think about it. Now lives in us because His nature is in us. Now lives in us because the Holy Spirit has poured that love into our hearts. Hallelujah. Pursue this love. Make it your great quest, the Amplified Bible says. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Hallelujah. Let's yield to that love. Jesus said, all men will know that you're my disciples because of this love. Not because of our faith. Not because of our holiness. All those are important, not because of the exercise of our authority. All those things are important. All those things are necessary. But ultimately, it's love. It's love. Hallelujah. That's what motivated God in the first place. That's what motivated God to do all that He did was love. Hallelujah. Let's let this love consume us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And permeate us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the great love that you loved us with. A self-sacrificing love. And I pray right now, Father, if there are those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those maybe here in this room or those joining us on YouTube, that maybe they've never responded to your invitation of love. Maybe they've never, their hearts have never been awakened to just how much you love them. Father, I pray today they would say yes to your invitation to allow you to love them fully and completely with a saving love, a delivering love, a love that can make them new on the inside. So while we're in an attitude of prayer, anybody here in the auditorium, you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord. I've never embraced, I've never received His love for me, but I want to receive that love today. Anyone here in the auditorium, or you're joining us on YouTube and you'd say, Pastor, I've never received God's love for me. I've never said yes to God's great love. I didn't understand until I heard you speaking today from the Scripture just how much God loved me, but I see it today and I want to say yes to that love. I want to respond to that love. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. And I'm going to lead you in those of you in the auditorium here. I want you to pray it with me if you would. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you're joining us on YouTube, pray this prayer after me and receive God's love. Open your heart to God's great love for you right now. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for loving me. Father, I thank you. You love me so much that you sent Jesus to die for me. Lord Jesus, you loved me so much that you were willing to die for me. And you did die for me. A horrible death. A death of suffering and sacrifice on the cross. But you were raised from the dead 3 days later. You're alive today. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I open my heart to your love. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. And fill me with your love. I receive you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please reach out to us and contact us here at City on a Hill Church. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to follow up with you. Everybody stand up if you would, and let's just worship God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and just praise Him right now. Father, we thank you today. Father, we praise you today. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise Him with me a little bit. Just stir yourself up and just praise Him right now. Just let Him hear from you right now. Father, we just bless you right now. Father, we just worship you right now. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your great plan. Thank you for your great love for us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that that love is on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we choose to walk in that love. Hallelujah. Father, we choose to release every bit of animosity. Father, we choose. Come on, right now, do some business with the Lord. Right now, do some business with Him right now. Father, we just choose to release every bit of animosity, every bit of ill will. Lord, that's our flesh. Lord, that's not you. Lord, that's not our spirit. That's our flesh. And we refuse to let our flesh dominate us. We choose to yield to the love of God that's on the inside of us in the name of Jesus. And we let go of all resentment. We let go of all bitterness in the name of Jesus. In fact, let's make this declaration based on 1 Corinthians 13. It says love is these things, but with the love of God in you, then you are these things. So say this after me, if you would. I endure long, and I'm patient and kind. I am never envious nor boil over with jealousy. I am not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I am not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. I am not rude and unmannerly. I do not act unbecomingly. God's love in me does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For I am not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of an evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. But I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I'm ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And I endure everything without weakening. I never fail because the love of God in me never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Love never fails. The love of God in me never fails. Because love never fails, I never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.